For now, we're going to, if you have a Bible with you, we're in the book of Philippians. And with Crossteach and their ministry in schools ringing in our ears, with all this talk about a passion for life, we will spend a few minutes just thinking about the example of the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 1. Let me pray, shall I? Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, remind us of the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ and impress upon us the seriousness of the work of the gospel. We confess that it is very easy at times to slip into thinking that our Christian faith and our membership of a local church is perhaps similar to joining a golf club or joining in a local book club. And yet we know really, when we pause and quiet ourselves before you, that as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, we are thinking of matters of eternal life and eternal death. Bless us then as we read your word. Reconfigure our perspective that we may see our lives as you see them, and give ourselves humbly and confidently in your service as you would have us. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17 is just a lovely verse. Especially, it's one of those verses where you read, and I give so much thanks for Rock. It's so nice, so rare to have such a big spread of ages in the church. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model, keeping your eyes on those who live as we do. It's one of the great blessings of being in a church with lots of different generations together, that we can learn from those older than us, learn from those on just the next leg of the journey from us, as they follow the Apostle Paul, so we follow them, and so we grow. But the Apostle Paul is quite clear that he himself can stand up as an example. And with that in mind, it's Philippians chapter 1 that I'm concerned to look at. As we think of our work in A Passion for Life, as we think of our work in A Passion for Life, as we think of the ministry of Crossteach and others, the Apostle Paul is a magnificent example of how it is we live this life of witness. Philippians 1 and verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become more confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. The church back in Philippi are kind of, what would we call them today, prayer partners, missions partners with the Apostle Paul. It's clear they've heard some news about what's going on with the Apostle Paul, and they're worried. Do you note that in verse 12? What has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. They think this is all going backwards. But no. What's happened is pushing the gospel forward, says the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. That's not where you want your missionaries to end up. He's under, well, probably house arrest. Huge guards with him. Maybe even day and night. He is, verse 13 and verse 14, in chains. That's not what you want for your Crossteach guys as they go from school to school. Surely that would hinder the work of the gospel here and around the world. No, says Paul. It's actually served to advance the gospel. And so the Apostle Paul shows us, here's the first lesson, that Christ is more important than comfort. Christ is more important than comfort. Why? Well, because he says, look, I might be in prison, verse 14, but that's had a magnificent impact on the local church around me. Since I've been willing to kind of put my freedom on the line for the Lord Jesus Christ, now they feel bolder and are all the more confident, end of verse 14, to proclaim the gospel without fear. Christ before comfort. Is that true for you? Will you serve the Lord Jesus Christ even when it's uncomfortable, when it might mean losing things that you cherish, even your freedom? Would you stand for the Lord Jesus? Lots of people around the world do now, don't they? I'm so thankful that the kind of the national media has finally picked up on the story of what's going on in the church in Nigeria. Faithful men and women, faithful boys and girls standing for the Lord Jesus and suffering terribly, but not letting go of Jesus, because Christ comes before comfort. As we go about our Passion for Life project, as we seek to take the gospel to our friends, sometimes that's going to feel like putting a friendship on the line. It is. We live in a world, a society, where that's a little socially unacceptable. Will you risk friendships for the Lord Jesus Christ? Will Christ, for you, come before comfort? I hope so. Christ before comfort. Secondly, though, verse 15. It's true some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Those are really very remarkable verses. If you get a bit of time this afternoon just to read and reflect, Christ before comfort, Christ before reputation, this new activity that's been triggered, initiated by Paul's arrest, where he says some of it's brilliant. Some people, verse 16, are now witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ because of my chains with a boldness that they never had before. They have a courage that we just didn't see. But now I'm in prison, we see it, and it's wonderful. They do so, this ministry to Jesus, out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. Isn't that amazing? But then he comments on this second, perhaps minority group, we hope it is, whose motives in sharing the gospel have become entirely skewed. Verse 15, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. Isn't that shocking? Oh, did you hear that? Yeah, Mike was all right. He was preaching. Envious. A bit of rivalry between Matt and Mike. Mike's always trying to get the upper hand. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing to say to anybody who shares the gospel? And so, of course, Paul condemns them, doesn't it? Verse 18. And so before God, I curse them in... Oh, except it doesn't say that. Verse 18, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. With Paul out of the way, some people think, well, perhaps there's a vacancy for an apostle. Now is my chance. They're preaching the gospel with envy and rivalry. Paul says, look, that's terrible, but there's something way more important. Christ is being preached. Their heart might be crooked, but their words are true. And so, verse 18, staggeringly, he rejoices. He rejoices. Christ before personal reputation. Christ before comfort. Christ before reputation. Now we come to the kind of the climax, the crescendo of the passage. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Whether by life or by death. He's in prison, probably under house arrest. He's in chains, soldiers with him night and day. He awaits that final end of the judicial system where finally the sentence will be pronounced. And verse 20, it's quite possible that the verdict will be the death penalty. In the first century Rome, to promote the Lord Jesus Christ was to promote dissension and disunity. It was to promote, ridiculously, the Romans called it atheism, because it was to reject a belief in the Roman gods and believe only in the God of the Bible and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He could face the death penalty. But he says, look, so be it. I eagerly expect and hope that I will no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. If death is what awaits at the hands of a Roman court, so be it. I trust that I will have sufficient courage to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ right to the end. If you visit the second great university city in our country, not Cambridge, of course, but Oxford, you can go and see the Martyrs Monument. It's almost mind-blowing, isn't it, that just a few hundred years ago, faithful men and women in this country were put to death for holding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for proclaiming it faithfully. We're a million miles away from that now, aren't we? But who's to say that won't come back in another 100 years, 200 years, whether the church that meets here, perhaps Rock Baptist Church, will still exist. Perhaps its members will be facing persecution from the state that maybe even will amount to the level of, well, possibly, would you live for the Lord Jesus Christ and die for him? If you're in Nigeria, would you hold tight? Would you say, I eagerly expect that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage? God is gracious and he will hold you. Christ before comfort, Christ before personal reputation, Christ before even life itself. Why? Verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. When we often think about heaven, we think about kind of all the things that won't be there. And that's perfectly valid. The Bible does speak of it in that way. No sickness, no suffering, no arguments, no falling out, no distance from the Lord Jesus Christ, but intimate communion with him, no death. But the thing that characterizes heaven, that the Apostle Paul longs for more than anything else, is not a place, is it, verse 21? It's a person. Christ before comfort, Christ before reputation, Christ before life. Because the worst that can happen to you in this world is that earlier than you or anyone else wanted, you're sent to be with Jesus, but you are with Jesus forever. And Paul can say, I'm torn between the two, verse 23. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. That's where we're heading. That's what counts. That's where the joy unending is. Not a place, but with a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this magnificent verse 24, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Look, oh, to die and be with Christ is the best, says the Apostle Paul. But if the Lord Jesus Christ in his great sovereign wisdom calls me to stay on this earth, if it's not the death penalty and if I'm released from prison, well, my whole life is given in his service anyway, and it's more necessary for you, the church in Philippi, that I go on living and serve in the church for your good. I'm torn between the two. I know there's lots of good work, gospel work to be done as I live on earth, but I long to be with Christ, which is better by far. At the ministry of Crossteach, at your witness to your friends, close family members, your neighbours, as part of this national project, when so many churches like ours would seek to take the gospel to our communities, a passion for life. Would you follow the example of the Apostle Paul? Would you pray for the guys at Crossteach? Would you pray for us that we would put Christ before our comfort? Put Christ before our reputation? Put Christ even before our lives? Let's pray, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, we are weak, but you are strong. We are foolish, but you are wise. We are... well, as we see this task, frankly, incapable, but you, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, have filled us with your Spirit, and we have the power of the resurrection within us. And so we ask that just as you did those first disciples early on in the book of Acts, that you would go on filling us with your Spirit and give us a boldness and courage to give our all in the cause of Christ, that we would put him before our comfort, we would put him before our reputation, we'd put him before even our very lives, for he is our life, and we desire to depart and be with him, which is better by far. Bless us then this day and in the months to come as we seek to witness to him, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.